This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello everybody, my name is Beau Bennett and I'm your host.
And I'm Ryan Levesque, co-hosting.
And this is the Toastmasters podcast. Ryan, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, Beau. Good to be back.
Yes, it is. It's pretty exciting, isn't it, what we're going to be talking about today?
Not just what we're talking about, but who we're speaking with.
Yes, and who is that?
We are speaking today with our old friend, Greg Gazin. Longtime listeners of the show will recognize his name as we had Greg on the show a few times at the 2009 and 2010 international conventions. A little background on Greg. Greg's a distinguished Toastmaster and past District 42 governor and member of Toastmasters for over 12 and a half years. In 2009, Greg was awarded the prestigious honor of a presidential citation from Toastmasters International for his use of technology to benefit the Toastmasters community. He's a self-professed serial entrepreneur, author, tech columnist, small business and technology speaker, and avid blogger and podcaster. Greg has penned over 3,000 articles and produced content for many media outlets, and he recently authored his first book, Corey Outsmarts the Butterflies, helping young readers ages 8 to 80 learn the secret of building confidence and communication skills. Greg credits Toastmasters for getting him out from behind the keyboard to out in front of audiences in situations he would never dreamed of. Please help me welcome Greg Gazin, the Gadget Guy, to the Toastmasters podcast.
Greg Gazin, welcome.
Thanks, guys. What a great intro.
Great. I have to comment on this 12 and a half years of being a Toastmaster. How old are you, Greg? 486 months?
Yeah, just about. Right. I'm a little older than I look.
Gotcha. So we've got some pretty exciting news. We're not just bringing you on because you're a fascinating person, which you are, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
But our official announcement is Greg Gazin is going to be the third host of the Toastmasters podcast.
Woohoo!
Awesome. Really? Stuff. Oh, you didn't know? Is this the first time you're hearing about it?
That's not what you told me. You said it had something to do with lots of coffee.
Well, this is going to be great. And the reason why besides that Greg is, again, a fascinating person and he's an awesome host, is that, well, you know, things get in the way and time just keeps on ticking on and moving. And Ryan and I have been busy and it's hard to get together. So we said, why rip off the Toastmasters public? Why not give them the 2 episodes a month that we were shooting for from the beginning? And the way to do that is to get a third host. And who would be the best third host ever but Greg Gazin? So welcome.
Wow, how flattering.
Welcome.
Well, thanks, because I look forward to listening to the podcast every month. So the more I can listen to, I'd be much, much happier.
Yeah, well, now you get to listen to yourself when you're actually doing the podcast. That's pretty exciting. So our hosts are now international. Can you tell our listeners exactly where you're from?
I live in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And for those of you who were at the Calgary International Convention, it's about a 3-hour drive straight north. If you head straight south from us, you'll hit Salt Lake City. And it's about an hour and a half plane ride to Vancouver. So in Western Canada, but on the eastern side of the Rocky Mountains.
Do you happen to know the exact geographical coordinates?
No, but I think you do because you said you were going to look me up on Google Maps.
Yeah, but I didn't get that information, so that's okay. I got to say, the Calgary International Convention was my favorite by far. That is got to be the most beautiful place on earth that I've been so far. I mean, it's just amazing up there in the mountains.
It's absolutely beautiful. Although, you know, Edmonton and Calgary, they're two rivalries, but especially when it comes to hockey and football. But, you know, we have an international audience now, so we just won't talk about that. No, absolutely. Calgary is beautiful. It is on the foothills of the Rockies. And if you ever heard of your travels of Banff and Jasper, it's it's less than an hour drive up into the mountains, and it's absolutely beautiful.
All right. Well, let's start with the basics, Greg. When and why did you join Toastmasters?
Oh, that's a really good question. The original reason was I got my arm twisted. And again, you know how much I love coffee. So it had to do with coffee. But I was quickly humbled when I attended a meeting. And I can't remember which meeting it was. But I remember that I had to answer my first table topic question. And I don't remember what the question was. I don't remember exactly what the situation was. But when the stopwatch came down, I didn't quite make 12 seconds. And at that point, I put my head down. I was looking at my watch like a kid watching the clock, waiting for the 3 o'clock bell. And then I was out of there. I was never, ever, ever coming back. But obviously that didn't happen. I saw the value. It took me a little while.
Yeah.
I got in there first for the communication skills. I mean, there was no way that I would be able to talk to you like I'm doing now. Hmm. And then the leadership portion took off after that. So it's an incredible organization. It has changed me tremendously. It's transformed me. And I have one thing I really want to do is just continue to give back. Plus, I made some pretty cool people like you guys.
Of course. How has it transformed you exactly?
Well, as the gadget guy, I spent most of my time pretty much behind the keyboard, and that's why that little portion is there in my intro. But it's opened up a lot of doors for me. So as the gadget guy, instead of just writing about gadgets, now I can go on radio and television and go out there and talk about them. Plus, it's also given me some opportunities to have new clients, because I do speak with people to try to help them with their businesses, small business and entrepreneurship. But it's also helped me do other things. Like, for example, my year as PRO, public relations officer, having some media experience helped. But the year as public relations officer allowed me to turn around and create modules and do presentations. And now I can actually do PR training for people. So there's a lot of practical skills that it helped me with. And I think just overall, it opens up a lot of doors. In fact, a lot of opportunities came because of Toastmasters or someone seeing me speak. And the scary part is that as time went on, when someone comes up to you and says, well, because of you, I quit my job. I go, oh my God. Oh dear. And they said, no, you know, you inspired me. And I went and I decided, you know, I really wanted to be an entrepreneur and et cetera, et cetera. And so what would happen is things that happened for me in that respect, because I was inspired by many people that I listened to and people who mentored me, that you turn around and you just do the same. So it's not one or two particular things. And for me, it's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing process.
Hey, Greg, I got a question for you. I remember the last time we saw you, you were, I think, getting ready for your year as district governor. But a couple of years before that, as you were preparing to be lieutenant governor of marketing and intending to serve in all three of the top three district leadership roles, I remember you making the comment that you were excited about embarking on this journey because it was sort of like getting an MBA in 3 years, doing the marketing piece, the education and training, and then sort of the chief executive officer role as district governor. And I'm curious, how did your experience over those 3 years match to your expectations?
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm not trying to downplay the MBA, but the MBA by no means, not at all. I mean, it's very, very valuable. There's a lot of really good schools out there. But I think I did attend business school, which as an undergrad. And what I've discovered is that there are things that, now again, it's been a while since I've graduated, things that I felt that I never was able to learn there. I think with Toastmasters, I've heard some people say, well, you know, it's not a real environment, especially at the club level. But once you start getting out there and you start taking on the roles and you have these huge responsibilities, including as a district governor, a budget, you start to realize that, wow, this is something that you can do. For myself, as being self-employed, I didn't have the opportunity to get that quote unquote big business experience. The people that you met along the way, the things that you learned, the mentors that helped you. And when you look back, and this was something that was shared by another district governor, previous district governor, but putting it into perspective, getting to the top of the Toastmasters district is pretty much akin to being a CEO of a nonprofit. And in our particular case right now, our district has 285 clubs. We've got 6,000 plus members. And to realize that you're part of that team, you're leading that team, where you have your mentors and you have your past district governors and your team beside you, and you have this incredible team of 9 division governors, 50 plus area governors, countless other team members, and you go, wow, this is incredible. And I don't think that this is something that you can necessarily get at business school. I mean, you might take on a practicum, but I think it's pretty unlikely that they're going to make you a CEO a couple of weeks into the job. So in that respect, it really blew away my expectations. But a lot of it is what you make of it, right? It's up to you that if you want to make this happen for yourself. And it's amazing that if you do want to make it happen, you can and make it happen. And I've seen so many people grow within the organization. In fact, last night, after we had our meeting last night, and after the meeting outside, we like to gather outside and chit chat. It's amazing. We were talking about the person who just did their presentation, and I was talking to two people. I say, wow, look at the growth that you've had in the very, very short period of time. And you can see the smiles in their faces, and they nod and they say, yes, the growth is there. So in terms of the MBA at the district level, absolutely. But it does start at the club level, and it's a continuous learning process. Mm.
I never heard that analogy before, and I think that's pretty interesting and very apt as well. 3 years of the kind of education that you're getting, and you're not paying for it, which is always a bonus.
Oh, it's amazing how inexpensive. When you let people know how inexpensive it is, it's like, wow.
Right, right. I know that when I was Lieutenant Governor of Marketing, I had some expenses, but I also had a budget, so everything worked out. But yeah, if you add in the educational value of what you're getting from filling that position, it's just amazing, and it's a wonderful deal.
If you think about it, some of your textbooks will cost more than an annual membership.
Easily, yeah, easily. Even ebooks now, the ebook textbooks, they're still a fortune. It's like, why? It's still a digital file. Do you really need to charge me $90 for it? So Greg, what keeps you busy during the day?
What keeps me busy? Well, let's see. I like to do podcasts. I interview people. I review a lot of gadgets. I mean, right now my desk is full of them, and I'm also looking forward to the next iPhone coming out to find out what that's going to be about. Mm-hmm. That keeps me fairly busy. I work with clients. I do a little real estate here and there, so never enough hours in a day. Plus Toastmasters. Last year, I think I went to about 150 meetings.
Wow.
Little fewer this year. And one of the things I learned from distinguished Toastmaster Peter Kosowin, we call him Mr. Toastmaster. He's been a Toastmaster for 42 years. He once told me a long time ago, never give a free speech. So my philosophy is a little different, as I say, okay, never give a free speech. Either you get credit or you get paid. Hmm. And for me, either is really good. So I like to get out there and speak a lot. Hmm.
So how many times have you been through the CC manual so far?
Like 5 or 6. I'm coming up on my 4th Distinguished Toastmaster designation.
Oh,
I should have
that
probably by November.
Jeez. All right. So you're not just going for the CC, just keep on running and duplicating that program. You're going for the whole thing.
I always carry a manual with me. And in fact, last summer I was doing a seminar on customer service. And I called it customer service is never enough, or a loyal customer is never enough. And there was a gentleman in the audience who was a Toastmaster. So I walked up to him with one of my manuals and I said, hi, Rick, how you doing? And he said, hey, Greg, I said, glad you're here. Can you do me a favor? And he looks at the book and he just smiles and says, sure. So there you go. One more credit.
Nice. Way to go. Way to network. So, Greg, tell us a little bit about this Corey Outsmarts the Butterflies project you got going on.
Well, it's my first little book, and it's funny because, well, first of all, it's about a little boy who's afraid to do his show and tell, and then he meets an older boy that guides him through it. SMART is an acronym. I won't give it away too much, and it's not the SMART that you're used to in the, was it specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. It's not that specific one, but it's something that came about. And what I do in there is, well, first of all, it was kind of funny how the book actually came about. A friend of mine had a book, and I was trying to convince him that, you know, it might be a really good idea to do a prequel, put it out as an ebook to try to help promote your book. And I said, here's the storyline, and here's the ideas, and here's the characters. And the funny thing is, he reminded me recently that it was like we were supposed to do this kind of thing together. But he says, well, since you've got it all laid out, why don't you just do it yourself? So I did. And the basis for the book is some of the material that I use when I do training. Twice a year, my friend Kevin and I, we go into NATE, which is Northern Alberta Institute of Technology, and we speak to the entrepreneurship students right at the beginning of the term. We do that twice a year to help guide them to improve some of their communication skills. So it's based on some of that material. It's a short read, and the funny thing is it turned out to be a children's book, and which is something that I never thought I would do. However, we've had a number of people say, Greg, change the cover. change the name to Outsmarting the Butterflies, and you'll have all kinds of adults purchasing it. And the nice thing about it is that the day it was released, and here's the irony, the day it was released, I got an email, or I got a text from one of my friends who said, who picked one up for her daughter, and she says, my daughter can't put it down.
You put glue on the cover.
And then I've had a couple of comments like that. And the thing that just wowed me was that if I can write something that can make a difference in a young person's life, that can make a difference, it's like the effort was really, really worthwhile. And it was that you get that shiver down your spine, which is kind of wow. The illustrations are actually hand-drawn by a recent graduate from over here. It's Grant McKeown University, and she's a graphic design person. And of course, you know, being on a tight budget first time around, and she was interested in taking on the project and did a phenomenal job. She really captured the essence of what the character was all about. So there might be another one in the works, perhaps maybe even an audio book based on it.
All right. Sounds great. Well, let's talk a little bit about your podcasting experience. You mentioned that you do some podcasting. You do a lot of podcasting. You do a lot of interviewing, which, by the way, it's perfect for this job, for this gig that we're bringing you into.
Well,
so you're right on there. Tell us a little bit about what you do. Do you only do podcasting with Toastmasters, or have you done other podcasts with other audiences?
Well, for the most part, it has been Toastmasters. As you can tell, I've been fairly busy dedicating a good chunk of my time to Toastmasters. And so, of course, as the old adage goes, the cobbler's kids have holes in their shoes. I've been wanting to do podcasts that are more technical related. Most of them have been interviews, which I use for written material or for maybe for some presentations. But for the most part, it has been Toastmasters. And in fact, it started back in 2006. And my first podcast came out in 2007. It's called Toastcaster, a little takeoff on Toastmasters, obviously. And it started as a high-performance leadership project, the HPL. And when it was time to do the HPL, I wasn't sure what to do. And someone said, hey, why don't you do something techie stuff? And I thought, oh, okay. The first podcast started as a high-performance leadership project, my HPL. I wasn't sure what to do with it. And someone had suggested, why don't I do some techie stuff? And as usual, podcasting was on the back burner, and I think at that time it was just in its infancy stage. I think now it's a pretty mature topic. So I tried it out, and it worked very well, so I did another one, and it continued on from there, and it's insane. I've had, however, I think 500,000 feed hits on it and about 125,000 plays over the last few years. So it's coming up, I think it's been about 7 years. And I continue to do them. I took a little bit of a break, not doing too many during my tenure on the district leadership team. But now I'd like to continue to do some more. And I think that working with you, being part of the official Toastmasters podcast, I'm certainly happy to share my expertise and go out there and find some incredible people to talk to, because there are lots of great people to talk to, and now be able to share it with the world.
That's funny, because that is exactly what we're looking for, Greg, and that's why you're here.
That's great. It's a pleasure.
Good.
I mean, you guys are rock stars. I love you guys.
Oh, we love you. You are the rock star, my man.
I think you guys said that, and I think it was in the first podcast.
Actually, it's a recording. We just keep on playing it over and over again.
No, it's great. The nice thing about the podcast is that you can listen to them over and over again, and while video is good, podcasts are not intrusive. You can use them. You can listen to them while you walk, which is what I do. In fact, the last couple of days, I walk virtually every day, put my headphones on, and I listen to repeats and reruns. And even for my own podcast, I like to listen to them and say, okay, this is what you did well. Here's where you can improve. And so you try to fix that for the next time.
Sure. Yeah. All right, Greg. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I look forward to working with you in the coming months and years, and who knows, maybe even centuries.
I think it's going to be absolutely exciting.
That's awesome. All right, Greg, thanks so much, and thanks for being on with us at the Toastmasters podcast. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Hey, take care, Greg.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, We've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.